You're a tremendous support of Project Independence, and I just always like to share that and how much we appreciate you.
Well, I do that because I think it's a great program, and I think the people who run Project Independence are superior, very committed to the concept of Project Independence, which is to help people age in their own home for as long as possible.
That's right.
Or as long as they want to.
Right.
So that's enough good credits for each other.
All
here.
Right, I think we're good. You know, yeah. The show is great. So we have an incredible show scheduled for today. We have a lot of guests. This is probably one of the most important themes that we've really addressed, civil rights, on the show. But right now, our first guest is Allen Ginsberg. And Allen Ginsberg is the film that we're going to be discussing on the show. He is the co-producer and the director of the film. So welcome, Allen.
Thank you.
It's really nice to have you here. Why don't you tell us a little bit about how this film came to be? This is a documentary, talks about the struggle for equality in North Hempstead.
Okay, so Defining Moments is a documentary about the civil rights movement on Long Island, what has happened, and what a little bit about what continues to happen today. The film got started through a grant through the National Park Service, which was to collect oral histories from participants of the civil rights movement from the 50s and 60s
right. And
preserve them for generations to come. Carol Trottier and myself, when we started to kind of research into what was happening during this time and participants in the civil rights movement, we found these amazing, amazing stories. And we said, well, we can't just collect these oral histories because each one, while amazing on their own as an hour and a half piece, is hard to digest if you're going to listen to 10 different people, 10 and a half hours of this.
Right. So you realized with all this information you were collecting and talking that there's a lot of stuff here, and you need
Absolutely.
To really delve into it further and get out there with it.
Absolutely. So what we decided to do was to take all of these interviews and all of this amazing information and create a more digestible documentary so that way we can highlight more of the bigger issues and be able to kind of put a lot of context in there that a lot of people don't know happened on Long Island. And kind of the biggest goal is when we think about the civil rights movement, most people kind of think, oh, well, that was something that happened down south. That wasn't a here issue. That
right.
was a down over there issue. And that's not quite the case. There was a lot of bad things happening here on Long Island, but there was also a lot of good things and a lot of movement here. So I think we go into that to try to bring together a lot more information that I think a lot of people need to know and don't know.
Right. It almost sounds like it becomes personal when you started gathering this information, collecting this oral history. Sometimes that it's great to collect that, but where does it go from there?
Right.
And that how do you inform people of the history here, of the civil rights movement and the reality of it?
Yeah, and we're using this as a big educational tool. So besides the documentary itself, we're also using this as a way to bring it to schools and libraries in the future so that way they can know what has happened here as a nice brief summary of the civil rights and then hopefully inspire, students and future generations to learn and to move forward so that they can kind of learn about the civil rights movement.
Right.
I don't think it's a bad idea for any younger generation to realize what price people paid for the right to vote, for certain discrimination practices that have been unfortunately. But I think that it's such a complicated subject, discrimination and prejudice, that it really has to start with young people and hopefully the homes that they live in. And I believe that films like this really give a strong message that a lot of people went through a lot of pain to try to better this situation. And each individual has the power to do something about that. You're the one who spreads discrimination, whether you like it or not, if you're a prejudiced, bigoted person.
Well, what I can also say is while there's a lot of conversation today about racial inequalities and discrimination, before we can even have a lot of conversations today, we need to learn what has happened. And Supervisor Judy Bosworth, who is here, You know, she is really on the forefront of making sure that, again, that this film does get out. Because before we can fix a lot of the issues that we have today, we need to learn about our own history as well.
No question about it. So just so everybody knows, I did come in 2 minutes late, so I apologize for that. And it's just so wonderful to be here. And so I'm so delighted that we're going to be talking about this. So, Alan, I don't know if you went through the background of how the film came to be made.
Yeah, with the grant. Yeah.
Right. So we're so proud that we had the opportunity to do this. And so the discussion about what happened so many years ago is so vital in understanding of where we are now. And the fact that we were able to get testimony from really the leaders of the civil rights struggle right here in North Hempstead. Mm-hmm. You know, no one realizes, or I shouldn't say no one, few people realize that really North Hempstead was really in the middle of fighting on a very local level for these kind of rights. And the fact that we now have the testimony of the people who were right there fighting, whether it was Lee Seaman or Bernice Sims or Marge Rogatz, Hazel Dukes, you know, really figures that we know today, but maybe weren't as aware of the role that they played in fighting for these just basic rights. And I think it's important to not feel that, okay, that's done.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's not done. You know, you read in the paper so often about communities that are, in fact, steering African Americans to one area and not to another. It's hard to believe that that's still going on, but it is. And so it's a fight that is ongoing, that hopefully those who see this film will have a better understanding of what happened all those years ago and the fact that it's a struggle that is still ongoing.
Well, and just
I was around in those days. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that was one of the things that we talk a lot about in the film, is the difference between what's called de jure segregation, and that's segregation by law. So Jim Crow South laws and just pretty much separate but equal is okay, those types of things. And then we really focus on de facto segregation, which is the big thing that still is around today and that has many generations of consequences, which is kind of segregation by fact, or kind of what Judy was mentioning, where, you know, people get steered to live in different communities, so then the schools are segregated because communities are segregated, and a lot of bigger issues based off of, again, the like de facto segregation.
I just want to say, what's so interesting is that schools in Nassau County are still segregated even when the areas aren't as segregated. So there is a kind of districting that still occurs that really will have people of one color going to one school and those of another going to another school. And that's something that Alan Singer speaks about in the film.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Otto, I was so impressed with this. We had shown the film at the Holocaust Center, and there was Otto.
Of course.
And
I thought it was important.
Yeah, and he said, well, if I'm going to be speaking about it, I need to see it.
Yes.
Well, it was interesting. You talked about the districting. That did come up in the panel later about the fact that on Long Island there are 120, rough number, I guess, school districts. And each of these school districts, whether you're pro or con, this is not a political show,
but
the bottom line is each one of these 120 districts are its own little empire and its own little culture, and it's hard to crack, in my opinion, opposed to having a broad, like I grew up in Woodhaven, Queens. And right
I
on,
taught in Glendale, Queens.
Did you?
I did.
No kidding. I never knew that. Well, I was on the borderline of Brooklyn. I went to Franklin K. Lane High School, which in the 1950s wasn't exactly considered the cream of the crop as far as schools are concerned. But what I do remember is we had many black people who I went to school with, and I never thought twice of it. And I never heard it at home, which was a good thing. You know, I never heard any discriminatory comments at home. My point with this is that there are a lot of people that kind of just in certain parts of the world didn't face that. I went in the Navy after that, and I was wound up stationed down in Florida and saw signs, you know, colored water and different discriminatory comments. Before that, I really was kind of ignorant about the whole thing. You know, back in the 40s and the 50s, you didn't see television every 5 minutes with what was going on. So this was very enlightening to me because I was not in North Hempstead back in those days and really didn't think about the discrimination that did exist and still does in some circles, if you will.
Just to even comment on that, even in the 50s and 60s, one of the big issues that was, again, not even seen a lot of times was you had a World War II veterans coming back from the war and being able to get loans and being able to live kind of in the areas that they've wanted to. But then black families not being able to get those same type of mortgages, as well as new developments such as Levittown had in its bylaws that, you know, people of color were not allowed to buy or you were not allowed to sell to minority families. So then you had these kind of sometimes just not even outright obvious things. But if you were an African-American family and you tried to get a mortgage, you would just be denied or you wouldn't be allowed to even apply to live in an area.
Yeah, but the hypocrisy was that they were also veterans from World War II.
Putting their lives on the line.
Right. Exactly.
But you don't have to go as far away as Levittown, because it was happening right here in North Hempstead. Part of the film shows, you know, Hazel Dukes, who's a, you know, very well-known civil rights activist, trying to rent an apartment in Roslyn.
Mm-hmm.
And she couldn't. And she called Marge Rogatz, and so I don't remember who the other person.
Niall Schachter.
Yes. Okay. And told them the difficulty she was encountering, mm-hmm. and so they went to look at what would be rent. You know that they wanted to rent an apartment. When they went to that same complex in Roslyn, in fact, they were shown a few different apartments, and then they said, "Oh, great! I'm glad they're available." And then brought Hazel, and they did rent the apartment to Hazel. So it can be very nuanced. Mm-hmm. No one has to say, no, you're not, this isn't available for you, except when you go to try to rent it, mm-hmm. all of a sudden there aren't any apartments, you know, that are available.
Some of the mentality back in those days was that as soon as there was a person of another color coming into the neighborhood, people started to get nervous, and then the block busting started, mm-hmm. and then it ended up that the neighborhood wound up going totally the other way. And, you know, it was just so complicated back in those days.
It's complicated and it's still complicated. Yeah. And the hurts that were suffered during that time are still present today.
Yeah.
And we see it in so many of the things that we're dealing with, even, you know, at the town. And it may not be as overt as saying, no, you can't rent an apartment here. But the hurts are still there, and it's something that we have to be aware of and sensitive to.
We're going to have to take a quick break in a few seconds. This topic is just, you don't want to go to break. Yeah. In 2019, to have to, you know, to be dealing with this kind of film, and I'd be interested to hear where this film is going to be shown, if it's going to go into the schools, and how it's going to be disseminated. And we will be back in a few seconds.
The film was excellent, by the way.
Alan.
Yeah.